Welcome to the Bringing Rural Back podcast, where we help you live a more prepared and sustainable life today so that you can have a better tomorrow, no matter what. This is your host, Greg Carter, and this is episode number 31, December 31st, 2015. Happy New Year! Woo! The topic for today is ways to use your old Christmas tree. But before we get into that, we got to get our chores done. Be sure and join the Listener Appreciation Event. The Listener Appreciation Event is a way for me to thank those who share the podcast. Once we get to 1,000 subscribers of the podcast through my little tracking tool, then we'll be giving away our first prize is going to be a $50 Amazon gift card, and there'll be some more after that. Don't worry about it. But I would, you know, if you can't win if you're not signed up, there will be a link in this post to the little form that you fill out. All you need is your name, address, and promise to share the podcast in some way. Well, I'm not going to follow up on you. I'm not going to try to, you know, be a lurker and see what you've done and why. I'd also like to remind you about the Rural Roundtable. These are experts on everything from, we've got a chickens expert, and let's see, chickens, off-grid living, preparedness, permaculture, food preservation, and so much more. So send your question to theruraleconomist@gmail.com, and we'll get it to the appropriate expert. Also, if you have suggestions of topics you'd like us to cover, input, feedback, like it, hate it, can't stand it, don't like the way I talk, whatever, you can send that to the same address as well. That is theruraleconomist@gmail.com. It's hard to believe that it's the last day of the year. Really, really, really hard to believe. You know, in my family, it was a tradition that New Year's Day is when we took down the Christmas tree. Now, why we left it up after Christmas when all of the gifts were gone and it looked all pitiful, I don't know, but we did. And one of the things about being more sustainable and being more prepared and being more rural is utilizing what resources that you have. And, you know, unless you have an artificial Christmas tree, if you have an artificial Christmas tree, you just put it back up in the box and you store it in your attic or your storage building or your shed or whatever, and then you get it back out next year. Well, if you have a live Christmas tree, then you've got to figure out something to do with that. Now, there's a lot of people that they just, you know, especially in the suburbs and in the urban areas, they just throw it out to the side of the road and the city comes around and picks it up, and that's the last that they ever think about it, and they don't think about it really other than that. Well, I got to realizing that this thing's a valuable resource, and we're just letting it go away. And I can't stand that because, you know, we're wasting something that's right there with us. And every year, I have to decide what I'm going to do with the tree. So I decided that I would go through some uses, some things that we can take this resource that we have available to us and put it to some type of functional use. So, sounds like a good idea. Let's get started. So, the first set of ideas that we're going to talk about how to use your old live tree are what I would call homestead or functional uses. Most of the ideas in this little area here are going to be things that even after the tree is gone, it has a true function. The ideas either provide food, improve the soil, warm the body, provide a habitat for beneficial critters, or something along those lines, okay? So the first thing is actually a fish habitat. And without a doubt, this is the most common use for old Christmas trees in our area. In fact, after the holiday season's over, you know, if stores have unsold trees, there are guys that will come up and they will haggle you to the ever-loving end trying to get all of the Christmas trees that weren't sold. And what they do is they use them in, you know, ponds and rivers and streams and lakes and whatever to create a fish habitat. And most of the guys who do this are avid fishermen. I actually know some people that make their living as a fishing guide that do this quite a bit. What most of them do is they use like a large stone or a concrete block to weigh the trees down as an anchor and keep that habitat in place. And so you have an underwater landmark where fish congregate. I've seen people tie as many as 6 trees together to make one large area. The submerged trees give small fish a place of refuge to grow, and wherever there's small fish, there's larger predator fish. And larger predator fish are what we like to catch. Again, there's really kind of 3 common ways to use old Christmas trees as a fish habitat. In a pond, I've seen several people just throw it in and let it float wherever it may. It creates a shallow habitat that kind of floats around, and the little feeder fish or whatever just kind of follow it wherever it goes. If the wind blows it to one end of the pond, they go with it, and it's good. Okay? The second is you use a rope and a large stone or a concrete block. You tie the rope to the middle of the tree, and you make sure that the length of the rope that you're using causes the tree to float kind of in the middle of the water, or really anywhere in the water table that you so desire. Normally they turn it to where it's floating sideways. That way you have a larger surface area, and you just use a rope and you're done. Well, the third way is probably the most common way. You stick the trunk of the tree down in like a concrete block, and you nail or screw a board onto the bottom of the trunk that keeps the block from just sliding off, or the tree from just sliding out from under it. And then you just drop it down, and you know your tree stays upright, and it goes all the way to the bottom of the lake, and it just sits there like a little underground tree. Now, I have seen some people using that third method that actually make like a small underwater forest where they know that fish will congregate. It's a really good use. Like it, not a problem. Okay? Number 2, bird and small animal feeding station. This is actually a really cute idea and one of the most simple. After you've taken all of your decorations off, just move the tree outside, stand and all. After the tree is set up outside, redecorate the tree with bird feeders and edibles for little wild creatures. One of the easiest ways to decorate is to take pine cones, smear it with peanut butter, and roll it in bird seed. Viola, cute, outdoorsy, a la naturelle decorations for the birdies. Number 3, bonfire fodder. You know, I said that fish habitat was probably the most common. Yeah, it's probably a little wrong on that. This one's probably the most common. The fish habitat's the second. Only one problem. People do not see it as a use. They see it as getting rid of the tree and really kind of nothing more. They'll throw it out there and fire up a match or lighter or whatever and just... Now, if an evergreen is allowed to completely dry
they burn in spectacular fashion. Hot and fast would be the best way to describe it. Around here, most of the teenage boys have bonfires as often as they can. At one point, I accused my son's friends of having bonfires as often as they changed their clothes, especially during the summer and early fall. It can be and should be used as a social event. Don't forget, after the fire has gone out, you can use the ashes as a soil amendment. All right, number four, small animal habitat. I know we've already used the tree as a feeding station, but this is different. Even if you have a small yard, you can take the old tree, place it in the corner of your yard. Just lay it down. Rabbits, chipmunks, and things like that will really appreciate the extra hiding place. It's really amazing how much life can take place inside a brush pile. As the tree naturally breaks down, it will become the habitation of worms and other beneficial insects. Not to mention, there'll be less going on going to the landfill. And as you can see, these ideas are good for everybody. So the first four have used the tree in its entirety. So now let's talk about parting it out. Okay. Number five, a chicken roost. I've done this one. It's pretty cool. It's fairly simple. It can be used with several ways, but you cut off all the limbs and you set it up for a chicken's roost. The trunk will be unevenly shaped. It's not going to be perfectly round, which is actually better for your chicken's feet anyway. And you just nail it up. So, you know, this is cool. Alright? Now, the cool thing about using it as a roost is that you can also use it as a mulch. Okay? All of the branches that you've took off, you can either throw them down on the ground as they are, or I prefer to shred them. You know, you could really expand mulch into like three different ones, but then I'd just be trying to get a lot more. You, like I said, strip off all the needles and use them as much mulch. This will create a fine, light mulch that will be great on, if not all, most plants. Now, pine needles can increase the acidity level of your soil, so that may be something that you wanted to take into consideration. Like I said before, you can take all the branches and just shred them. This will create a heavier, but in my opinion, a more well-rounded mulch. And then there's the third way is you just take it, pile it up, and you just leave it as branches, and you just use it as a mulch that way. I've done it, and it works, but I do prefer to shred it up. I've already talked about how that it can add some acidity to the soil. So that's something that you kind of want to think about. A lot of your berries actually prefer an acidic soil, so it's not a big deal. You can get like a wood chipper. I have an electric wood chipper that helps you deal with this situation pretty easy. Okay? All right. Next, garden bed protection. Now, this is really good for those of you who have like heavy snow areas or when it gets really, really cold. Leave the branches whole. And if you have like small winter crops like turnip greens, mustards, spinach, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, Brussels sprouts, you know, as long as they're not too high, you can just chop them off and kind of make a teepee and everything, or just lay them over the top of it, and this will help protect them from all the weather. So that's a really good idea. Now, compost, you're going to take the mulch idea and you're going to take it to the next extreme. Now, here's the deal though. You cannot use this exclusively. It's got to be mixed in with a whole bunch of other things. Okay? I mean, will it eventually break down if you don't? Yes, it will. But if you're wanting to create the highest quality compost you can, then you're going to have to really kind of up your ante a bit and make sure that you're using several different varieties or different sources of materials. Shredding it, like I said before, would be great. Now, I have just left the whole tree, piled it up, and just thrown stuff on top of it. And yes, it eventually breaks down. It sure does. But if you include, you know, old compost, shredding it up, kitchen scraps, all of these things, it's going to speed up the process. And it's going to actually produce a better quality product. But then you've got everything in between. You can cut all the branches off and use the trunk as the base of your compost pile. Mix in your leaves and your scraps and all like that, and just let the trunk break down. Now, another thing that could be used is along the same line is you can use the trunk as the base for, what would I call it? Like Americanized oogle culture. Now, what's oogle culture? It's a German term, which means high bed, but that's not the way most of us do it here in the U.S. You take wood and you lay it down, or you dig a trench or whatever, and you mound up dirt over the top of it. Okay? Now, when you first do it, it kind of takes nitrogen out of the soil. Some people call it a nitrogen sink, which is kind of true, kind of not. Okay? Trees are carbon. They're an organic material, therefore they're carbon. Okay? So it's drawing nitrogen out of the soil and binding it to the carbon to cause it to break down. Now, why would you do this? As the tree, the trunk of the tree, starts to break down and gets spongy. You know, you've got an old rotted wood and you can just crumble it up in your hands. Okay? Well, it acts as a water attractant. Water soaks into the wood, and then as it dries out, that moisture is released back into the plant. So you can plant plants right over the top of where you've buried this wood, and it reduces the need for irrigation. Okay, there's another major benefit that a lot of people don't talk about is the fungi. Yeah, not the joke, hey, I'm a fungi, but no, the fungi. Okay, there is fungus, like mushroom roots and spores and all like that, that make like this massive network under the ground, especially in high organic based soils. And when you plant into that soil, you know, tomatoes, peppers, peas, whatever, then the little nodes from this fungi will connect to the roots of your plants, and they do a barter situation. The fungi needs some things from your plant, and your plant needs some things from the fungi, and they trade. And you know, a good solid fungal based soil Man, it's hard to beat. It just makes it so rich, and it fights against all kinds of diseases, and it reduces the chance of insect infestation and everything like that. So utilizing it, you know, long term could definitely be a benefit. So we're going to call that, I guess, 8 and 9, compost and then the modified oogle culture. So number 10, we're going to say animal bedding. It, once again, you need a shredder for this. I have chipped up more than a few branches and just thrown them into the chicken pen. We've used them for like rabbit cages in the past, long time ago. I hadn't had rabbits in quite a while. I've used them in horse stalls. I have used entire branches in like a foal stall and one cattle stall. The fresh evergreen stuff, now it's a little more harsh because you got all of that aroma, but by the same token, that aroma helps keep fleas and nasties down. Okay. Number 11 is actually pretty simple. Firewood. Now, I add this one with some hesitation. The reason that I hesitate is because all of your evergreens are really heavy sap trees. Now, this sap is quite flammable. And unless wood is allowed to dry or season properly, a substance called creosote can build up on the inside of your flue or your chimney. This can be extremely dangerous and can pose a fire hazard. So if you're going to use evergreens as a firewood, either use it for like campfires or outside fires, or make sure that it has been properly dried. Having said that, it does make a good firewood. It burns hot and fast. Now, I remember my great uncle, he had a little outbuilding and he had a wood burning cook stove. And the only wood he would use would be pine and poplar because both of them burn hot and fast. Now, he would make sure that, you know, his pine and his poplar were properly seasoned, and he cleaned his flue once a year. So take that with a grain of salt, okay? It's not what you're going to want to burn in a heater to keep your house warm overnight. Now, it could be something that you can consider if you're wanting a quick fire to knock off the morning chill or something. If done safely, there's no reason that the tree that warmed your heart during the holidays couldn't warm your body or your food in the following year. But be really, really careful. Okay? Number 12, dune restoration. Now, this one's primarily beach. I've known some folks that own beach houses and everything like that. Man, they haul trees down there by the truckloads. And they just threw them out and kind of anchored them down on the beach. And as the wind blew and rain did their things, and it wouldn't take long that sand would pile up around the trees. This created a brand new sand dune. Done properly, this can provide some protection against tide and swells and, you know, stuff like that. Okay? Next section is going to be what I call home decor ideas. Number 13 is potpourri. Now, you know, I've put something that really, you know, this, for most people, they would consider this a luxury item, especially on a homestead or preparedness or whatever. The sense of smell has a lot to do with your attitude. I mean, there's whole industries developed around aromatherapy. And I do love the smell of evergreens. And I love that smell no matter what time of year it is. Especially during the winter months, but no matter what time it is.
Now, you can strip off all the needles and a couple of branches and wrap it in the little mesh stuff. Oh, tulle. To make a sachet. Yeah, a sachet. And a ribbon. Tie a nice ribbon around it. And then you can, like, throw it in your, you know, your drawers and stuff. That way your drawers smell good. You may be able to purchase the tulle from a local sewing and craft store. You can also use it as an ingredient, you know, just sitting around and let it simmer with some light water and a tea candle. So don't limit yourself simply because you don't have an imagination. Number 14 is a drink coaster. And I like this little project. I've done it a few times. Now, what you do is you take the trunk of your tree and you just cut it up in like half-inch slots. Cross-cut, half inches thick. You can sand it, you can not sand it, you can slack it, you can leave it natural, you can do whatever, you can apply varnish and all this other stuff. Now, the thing about it is if you don't let it dry before you cut it up, it's very likely to split. So this is actually one of those things where you want to set it up somewhere where it's out of the weather, let it completely dry before you cut it up. Now, if you don't mind it splitting some and still using it, knock yourself out. Go ahead and do it. Okay? 15 is a candle holder. Now, I've cut several of these up, and they look real nice, especially with the big, 3-inch candles. You cut off your trunk at a certain height. You sand it to where it's level and everything like that. You can, if you've got a router, you can actually route out a little slot for your candle to sit in. It makes a nice part of a centerpiece. Number 16 is a centerpiece. Now, you can lay it on its side. And what did I do? An inch and a quarter paddle bit for your drill, and make sure that it's, you know, perpendicular, that way you get everything right, and just drill you a little bit of a hole wherever you want it to do, and then you use those tea candles, those tea lights, and just drop them in there, and it makes a really, it's a pretty good looking centerpiece. I'm not gonna say not, it's pretty good. Okay, it's pretty. All right. So number 17 is pine needle tea. Now, pine and spruce both qualify. Cedar has different rules. Okay, tell you that right straight off the bat. Now, if you're going to use it this way, I wouldn't use one bought commercially at all. Because a lot of the commercial trees, they spray them with a flame retardant and they actually die a lot of the Christmas trees. If you went out into the woods and cut your own tree down, this is a viable option. If not, I would pass on this one. Okay? You take the needles, steep them for 15 to 30 minutes. Pine needle tea has a very strong flavor. I actually kind of like it, especially with a teaspoon of honey. But it's a vitamin C powerhouse. Now, cedar tea also is a vitamin C giant. It's produced the exact same way as pine needle tea. However, cedar oil, when your tea cools down, you're going to notice this slicky, nasty, slimy layer that floats to the top of the tea. Cedar oil is toxic, and it should be poured off of your tea. Unless I'm in a dire situation, I'm not going to do cedar tea. Okay? Just not going to do it because it's just nasty. Just due to the cedar oil. It's just, okay? Now, spruce needles and pine needles can be eaten raw in a survival situation. Just kind of a little extra thing. Okay? So, there you go. 17 ways to use your old Christmas tree. What do you think? I hope you enjoyed it.
I look forward to seeing you a lot next year. Happy New Year. If you have any questions, suggestions, gripes, moans, or groans, don't hesitate to send me an email, theruraleconomist@gmail.com. We've also started a community, Bringing Rural Back podcast community on G+, and we'll be starting a group board on Facebook that will be Bringing Rural Back. If you want to contact with us there, you can. Appreciate it. Consider joining the listener appreciation event and consider rating us on iTunes or Stitcher. Okay? Well, I'll see you next year. Step by step, we're bringing rural back. Bye.